Let us pray. God of wisdom, by your Spirit, speak this day a word of life and plant in us the power of your righteous love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Today's reading from Deuteronomy is part of an extended scene in which Moses calls the Israelites to make a new covenant with God. This covenant extends the one established with the giving of the Ten Commandments in the wilderness. By adding specific commandments for how people should live together when they enter the promised land, Moses makes an impassioned plea describing the choice to obey God's commandments or not as a choice between life and death. Reading from Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 20, listen for God's word. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give you, to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So ends the reading. An important theme in Luke's gospel is how to be a disciple and what that costs. In Luke's literary plan, Jesus says these words while on his way to Jerusalem, where he expects to be crucified. Reading from Luke 14, verses 25 to 33. Listen again for God's word to us today. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We all make
hundreds of choices a day without even thinking much about them. Whether to rise and shine or hit the snooze button. What clothes to put on, what to have for breakfast, or whether we have time for breakfast. To push our way into that crowded subway car or wait for the next one. Whether or not to like something on Facebook. What brand of toothpaste or cereal to buy. What to have for dinner, what movie to stream after, read a book or a magazine, stay up or call it a day. There are other choices, maybe a little harder to make, but still not earth-shaking. Things like eat that box of chocolate someone gave you or take it to work and share it. Keep your mouth shut or pass along that juicy bit of gossip. Put down your phone or iPad or the remote and actually listen to the friend, the partner, the child who's trying to get your attention. Choices. Now, Moses offers the people of Israel a choice in the closing passage of what is presented as a sermon. I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, Moses says. Choose life. Health and wealth or hardship. Life or death. Choose one. Well, duh. Seems like a no-brainer. In our gospel reading, Jesus, on the other hand, makes an offer it seems really easy to refuse. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, and presumably husband, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Oh, Jesus, can't you just stick to the user-friendly stuff? You know, love your neighbor. Come to me, all you that are carrying heavy burdens. Ask and it will be given. Why do you have to get all, you know, bossy and demanding? Well, that's Jesus, loving but demanding, as well as prone to that preacher's trick of hyperbole, exaggerating to make a point. And he certainly has a point to make here. So what is the point, Jesus? Well, simply this. There is a cost of discipleship. Which begs the question, what are we willing to give up for Jesus? Now, in this passage, Jesus is speaking to a crowd of mostly new disciples, maybe disciple wannabes, those who have heard his preaching, witnessed a healing, maybe received a healing themselves. Some are mildly curious. Some wildly enthusiastic, some starry-eyed, some skeptical. Some are there because in those pre-technology days, this traveling preacher was entertainment. Some because they were dragged there by a relative. So a crowd kind of like, you know, folks gathered in a church on any given Sunday. But Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He knows, we know, what lies ahead. The way of the cross, crucifixion, and death. So he wants these newbies and wannabes and might-bes, he wants them to know what they're getting into before they sign up for the Jesus movement. Fair enough. Would you start a major building project without first sitting down and figuring out if you have enough in the bank to be able to finish the job, Jesus asks? Would a king send his troops off to war without reckoning whether victory were even possible? Have you considered whether you are willing and able to pay the cost of discipleship. And what is that cost again? Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even life itself cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. You know, it's a wonder that anyone signed on. It's a wonder, when you come to think of it, that any of us are here today. We don't want to be haters, that's for sure. And how can Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Love, call us to hate anyone, much less our families? Well, Jesus knew how to get people's attention. Can you imagine if he posted that on Twitter? He would have gotten so many retweets, but maybe in the end, not a lot of followers. Because he's asking, what matters most to you? Who matters most? So is Jesus really demanding that we give up our possessions, our families, our very lives? No. And yes. And we tend not to like the word sacrifice these days. But we all make sacrifices all the time. A lot of you have and will and do make sacrifices for your education, your careers, your causes, your children, your parents, for whatever it is that you are passionate about. So sacrificing for your family, okay, but sacrificing your family, really? You know, I don't know if any of you have been following the U.S. Open, but this year I was rooting for Serena Williams. And no, hats off to Bianca Andreescu, she wasn't even born when Serena won her first Grand Slam title at Flushing Meadow. I am awed by athletes and their God-given talents. And I know it's not just being born with ability that makes someone a great athlete. It's hard work. You know that word. It's sacrifice. It's almost selfishness in a way. The hours of daily training year after year, the constant traveling often, the single-minded focus, the emotional absence even when you're not physically away from home. Now, obviously, Serena Williams didn't give up family for a career. She had a baby 2 years ago. But it's been a hard road back for her and taken a lot. Though she did say, I think being on the court is almost a little bit more relaxing than hanging out with a two-year-old. And did, if you watched the U.S. Open, did you happen to see, I think it was at the Venus and Serena match, did you happen to see Colin Kaepernick there? And you know, he's the football player and Christian who, along with fellow 49er Eric Reed, chose to kneel during the national anthem to protest racial injustice and police brutality in this country. He said, when there is significant change, and I feel like the flag represents what it is supposed to represent, and this country is representing the people the way it's supposed to, then I'll stand. Well, Kaepernick was cheered by some, booed by many. He became a free agent, but he went unsigned, and he ended up filing a grievance against the NFL, accusing them of colluding to keep him from playing. At one point, his birth mother, she is white, he is a biracial adopted black man, his birth mother tweeted that he was bringing shame upon them. What are you willing to give up for what you believe in, what you are passionate about, what you feel called to? If it's Jesus, what are you willing to lay down so that you can take up the cross? And you know, I know we don't much like talking about or even thinking about the cross. so unpleasant. And we know the harm that crosstalk has done. Centuries of abused women, enslaved people, victims of systemic injustice and personal cruelty, told that that's their cross to bear. If they love Jesus, they'll submit without complaint. Now, certainly, it can comfort those faced with unavoidable suffering to know that Jesus is with them in that suffering, that Jesus willingly took up his cross because there was no anguish or despair into which he will not accompany us. But the cross Jesus speaks of is one we carry willingly. So what if our cross is not pain or suffering or injustice thrust upon us, but our chosen life in Christ? Sometimes something as ordinary as what we choose to do every day, every moment of our lives. Choosing life, the book of Deuteronomy calls it, is not a simple plan for becoming rich and happy, but something more lasting and harder. The author says, "You have seen the commandments of God are just and true. Know that following them may lead you into hope, into a God-accompanied future. But you've also learned what not following them means. Learn that if your heart turns away and you do not hear but are led astray, then you can be lost." Choosing life is not a one-time deal, but a way to live, a way of shalom, wholeness, blessing, fruitfulness. If carrying the cross means choosing life, committing our lives to the crucified and risen Lord, then everything we do, when we work, when we play, when we buy stuff, when we volunteer, when we vote, every appointment and chance encounter, everything is shaped by our devotion to Christ, is an offering of our lives to God. And sometimes, in order to do that, we have to let go of, give up things that seem really important to us. Maybe actual things or money, maybe people or relationships, maybe things we rely on, our independence, our certainties, our privileges. It can be things we are rightly proud of, our accomplishments, our sense of belonging, our sense of being needed. Things that we feel we can't give up. Without them, what are we? Sometimes, it's the things that we are ashamed of that hold us back. For the shame and the sorrow have become so much a part of our identities. Without them, who are we? Well, without all our baggage and stuff, we are what we are with them. We are in Christ. When we lay them down, though, we are set free to belong wholly to Christ. But with all this talk of giving up, let's keep in mind what we gain. Soon we will come to the table of our Lord. We celebrate an open table and all are invited to partake, no questions asked. For while the church does issue certificates of baptism, of confirmation, of membership, Jesus does not require you to present papers at the border to prove your citizenship in the kingdom of God. I say it often, I'll say it again in a little while. This is the table of Christ. It is not the table of the perfect, but of the loved. At Christ's bountiful table, all are beloved and all are welcome. There is a cost of discipleship, but not of grace. God's grace is freely given, lavishly bestowed. There is no cost for salvation. Well, not a cost to us, anyway. Some say Jesus already paid it with his generous, gracious life, a life of teaching, healing, befriending, with his freely shared life. As my friend and mentor Barry Shepherd said, and as I probably quoted before, I don't want to save your soul. Your soul is already saved. Your soul is already saved. So what are you going to do with your life? What are we willing to give up for Jesus, to let go of, so that we can take up his cross? The cross of abundant life, a life so demanding, so grace-filled, so rich, so difficult, so delightful, so generous, that there is nothing more precious. Maybe it's an easy choice after all. Thanks be to God.